Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin. We are here from Third Space, and this is the 230th week of our Turning Towards Life conversation. And Lizzie, I'm feeling so glad that we're here together, and want to say to everyone who's with us, welcome, good morning, good evening. We're so glad you're here too. Some of you are here with us live on Facebook. We go out at 9 o'clock in the morning UK time every Sunday morning. And then many others we know are joining us in other forms, podcasts, YouTube, our lovely turningtowards.life website, where you can also sign up to get the recordings in the mail, by email, Instagram, all the places. So wherever you are and however you are in this conversation, you're so welcome. And Lizzie, I'm thinking right now, as we often say, that it really feels to us that everyone is in the conversation with us, that this is a conversation between us that arises from this mysterious something that is between all of us, really. And I feel like I want to throw this great, really deliberately throw this great net around us all, holding us all. And who knows when you'll be listening to this, but our recording comes at something of a tremulous time in the world, and it feels really good to be together in these moments.
Yeah. Thanks, Justin. Good morning, everyone. Good afternoon. Good evening. It really is such a lovely thing to be here, and feeling already the kind of sane makingness of entering into the space and the conversation with you, Justin. And this week we have a lovely poem by this wonderful person called Polly Caster. And I don't think we've had any of Polly's poems before. And if you check out her website, which I think if you just Google Polly Caster, you'll come up with her website. She has so many of these beauties, it's extraordinary. And she also has other poets in there as well. So other ones who are equally as extraordinary and inviting and deepening. So I really would invite you to seek her out. And Polly, if you ever manage to be listening to this directly, thank you so much for everything that you have put into the world, and probably all of that you haven't put into the world. It seems like it's such a prolific amount of wisdom and beauty. So thank you. And this poem is called Liminal Space. So in this waiting place, we loiter, hover on a tentative cusp, a threshold between the familiar and the unknown, with no possible retreat. The customary comfort zone is gone, and where the entrance ushers is not yet seen. Our new question, let alone its answer, is still ambiguous. We're in limbo. We can either hesitate or go forward. The gossamer veil of divine nearness flutters ever so lightly, breathing inseparably close as we step to embrace the unrevealed with trust, a shimmering opportunity for connection and listening and being led right on through. Lean into this portal. It is the doorstep to fruitful ground.
Thank you, Lizzie. So I'm going to read two. And for all of us, if you want to find this poem, you can find it, like Lizzie says, on Polly's website, but also in the notes for the podcast and the YouTube and all of this conversation. Liminal Space. In this waiting place, we loiter, hover, on a tentative cusp, a threshold between the familiar and the unknown, with no possible retreat. The customary comfort zone is gone, and where the entrance ushers is not yet seen. Our new question, let alone its answer, still is ambiguous. We are in limbo. We can either hesitate or go forward. The gossamer veil of divine nearness flutters ever so lightly, breathing inseparably close as we step to embrace the unrevealed with trust, a shimmering opportunity for connection and listening and being led right on through. Lean into this portal. It is the doorstep to fruitful ground.
So as you read, Justin, firstly, I can feel the familiarity of this place and how every time I encounter it, how important it is to know that it's something that is of this nature. Because to be in the liminal space feels so untethered and sometimes really scary, and like I don't know what's what anymore. Like almost everything flies into being in question rather than known or understood. And so as you read this, I feel like there's a way that it occurred to me that in these moments I could say that Polly's on the other side and she can see what's happening. And so this poem enables me to have her on the other side of this threshold, telling me it's a threshold, showing me that it's an opportunity for a shimmering opportunity for connection and listening. Like, thank goodness somebody's there telling me that that's what it is. So I'm really feeling the gift of the way that we can all be before one another or after one another, and there's like a lineage in our way of being in the world. So some people are further along this developmental line that they can see that this is what's happening, and we do that for each other, and that this poem can be a way of talking to one another when we are lost, when we're feeling unfamiliar to ourselves, when we don't know what's next, when the question is still ambiguous and there's absolutely no answer. To be met in that place by this feels so important, because all kinds of things could happen if you didn't know what it was. If you mistook this for a different thing, all kinds of actions might come out of it that aren't appropriate for what's actually happening. So I'm feeling really, really met and held and drawn through and faithful, made faithful by Polly's words. And of course, when it comes from somewhere other than the people that you know, it really helps, because it's like, oh, so there's somebody in the world who I don't know personally and who knows this realm too. This must be in some way universal. Like, this is not just a thing that I experience. It's a thing that humans experience. And that's such a comfort to me. So yeah, I feel very moved and held in the liminalness through Polly's way of saying it.
I'm really struck by it. I hadn't at all thought about it this way, Lizzie. This, what you're bringing, which is this sense of what happens when there are people who are already on the other side of something, whether it's the same thing as the thing, who knows what threshold in Polly's life gave rise to writing this, but the sense that there are people who are standing on another side of something, able to show us what's on the in-between, that we might not otherwise be able to see, and to give us good stories. And of course, you'll know that I mean stories in the deepest way.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling very grateful for that too. And one of my experiences of reading this just now, this week, when the world is, 10 days into an unfolding war in Europe, and we're on a threshold between the familiar and unknown. Maybe all of us in the world are on this one. and things change so fast, I realize there are a couple of dynamics in me that I'm sure I'm not the only one who has these dynamics that this conversation really helps with and this poem really helps with. So one is, let me be the one who chooses when thresholds come and what kind of threshold they are. Thank you. I'll have the thresholds of my choosing. I can feel in me that the parts of me that really so deeply want to be in control of life, that they want to push back at any threshold that wasn't my own making. You know, if I can, if I can see the threshold myself that I'm going to have to pass through and I've chosen it and I'm ready for it, and that will be just fine. And then I'm really happy to loiter on the cusp and between the, it's easy to speak from that place. But often, whether it's a shift in the security of the world, an illness, a grief, maybe even a new opportunity that I hadn't imagined presents itself at a time when I'm not ready for it, there are many parts of me that are doing their best to try to make sure that the threshold doesn't come my way and I'm not forced to confront it. And of course, it, in the middle of it, it seems to make perfect sense, at least to those very fearful parts of me, that if I push hard enough or hold my breath enough or contract enough or get frightened enough or whatever, then the threshold will go away. And this poem reminds us that very often we find ourselves between the familiar and the unknown with no possible retreat.
Yeah.
As Polly says, you know, reality, life is here and there's no denying it. And it may be on a much, much bigger scale than I have any direct reach over. So now what?
Yeah.
So recognizing that in those situations there are choices, we can hesitate or go forward. We can ask new questions or hold on to the old ones. We can interpret everything. I read this wonderful thing, Lizzie, that despair is itself a kind of future telling, where we claim to know the answer to everything. If I despair, but despair is an obvious choice when things are hard. But despair goes in the opposite direction to Polly's invitation to us, because despair tells us that we know that there's nothing here, that there's no possibility here, that nothing new can happen, nothing can open. And then Polly says, what happens if we step to embrace the unrevealed with trust and have it be a shimmering opportunity for connection and listening? And certainly right now, at this moment, 17 minutes after nine on the morning of Sunday, the 6th of March, 2022, being here with you, taking up an opportunity for connection and listening and knowing that others are with us, right in the middle of this undeniable threshold between the familiar and the unknown, is so life-giving.
Yeah.
And I also feel like it calls out in me qualities that I really want to live by, qualities of care and integrity and sincerity and courage, rather than flight and freezing and despair.
Yeah. Oh, it's really lovely just to kind of bathe in your words, Justin, and this beautiful invitation to be here. And as you're speaking, I'm finding that phenomenon in myself of when, in order to be willing to be led right on through, we also have to be able to let something go. So I was noticing a kind of grief arise in me over kind of, oh, well, when there is really no way back, it's important to know that and to feel that and to let that be true, even though there's grief that has to be faced, like a letting something go that has to happen in order to be able to lean into something. And as you were saying, you know, it, that can't be about control or being in charge. And so I can, yeah, feel myself needing to take a breath and be very straightforward with myself about the point of no return. And I know so many times in my unfolding, I've kind of wanted to scramble back to a place that I knew, or, but it just doesn't, it's just not possible anymore. Like I can't anti-become. I don't know what the word is, but I can't opposite of become. I can't go back. I can't live a moment in the past again and do it differently. Like, it has to be accepted and let go. And so then what comes is this relationship between letting go and faith, like faith to let go, but faith that there is this fruitful ground, that the unrevealed can be embraced with trust. That's possible. And how connection and being together is really the thing that makes that possible, to trust what hasn't yet been revealed. And it's really hard, because it is like having our eyes closed. You know, Justin, I watched a very small piece of the Winter Paralympics yesterday. I was so moved. There was a British skier, and I've just forgotten her name, but anyway, she has 5% vision, and she was doing the downhill giant slalom, and she had a guide. You know, that's how it goes, that they ski together, and this lady's hearing was how she, and all of her instincts in relationship to this other person, gets her down the slope in like Olympic time. I mean, and it just really kind of moved me and rocked me, because she'd also had a fall that had kind of really ripped the faith out from under her, because she'd got concussion and she had to come back from that and carry on training. It was in the middle of her training for the Paralympics. I was really thinking about the nature of faith and how extraordinary that act of faith is from her, to be going that fast and skiing and trusting that much in that other human being, all of her listening, all of her connection, all of her trust. Just so, so beautiful. And of course, I mean, I hadn't linked it into this at all until this moment, but I just feel really moved by the way that as human beings, this kind of faith is even possible. And to kind of be willing to even entertain that kind of faithfulness and that kind of unknownness, and still say yes. So I love watching the Paralympics, and I love feeling into the beauty that invites in me that a different kind of lesson, you know, I'm sitting there learning lessons about my life from the extraordinariness of both the Olympics and the Paralympics, frankly. But last night's run that I saw, and she thinks she won the bronze medal as well, it's incredible. Just really, really got me. And it's because it's teaching me about faith and how essential it is to find that in ourselves. Because, like you said, we can't control everything. We can't decide when we're on a threshold. We can't decide what we're ready for. Mostly life comes to meet us. Like when I was reading this, I was thinking, my God, yeah, this feels like it's a decision made on my behalf almost to be in the liminal space. It's not like I consciously said, right, I'm going to change now. Like something of life pulled me in and I'm here now, and I haven't got it doesn't feel like I have a choice as to changing the circumstances, but I do have a choice as to how I can engage with this. And this poem is such an invitation to that, as is this extraordinarily amazing teaching of watching this skier yesterday.
It may be that I haven't seen the skiing, and I'll go and see it now, but it may be that Polly here is playing the same role that the ski guide plays, which is to be able to be sensitive to something and an invitation to it for us.
Yes.
And when you were talking about the necessity of faith, faithfulness in the middle of this, that we don't get to choose when the thresholds come. We really don't get to choose. There's sort of a slight detour, which will come back, but there's I think there's such a strong myth in our culture that to be the right kind of person, we essentially need to be a kind of deity of some kind. Mm. So I need to be able to, of course, gracefully enter through all the thresholds. And I also need to be able to choose the threshold that I'm crossing at any particular time. And then I'm the right kind of person. But for most of us, a change in geopolitics comes, an illness comes, we lose somebody we love, something changes in us that we don't know, we fall. We didn't choose any of that. And then we're called upon in the ways that you're saying. And the thing I could see from you and I being together, and from Polly being with us, and from Ski Guide being with the Paralympic skier that you were talking about, is that we can play a huge role in accompanying one another.
Mm.
It's the other counter. So one myth of our culture is we ought to be able to do this alone, gracefully and shinily and in full command of our faculties, never feeling afraid or lost or grief-filled or any of those kind of things. So that's terribly unhelpful story, because we will be all of those things. And then the other myth of our culture is somehow that navigating our lives, walking the path of our lives, is an individual effort.
Yeah.
And although the unique experience of my life will never be the same as the unique experience of your life, no matter how close we are, no matter, it's not possible, we can walk alongside one another and take one another's hands as we cross through our thresholds. And that's, maybe that is exactly that's the shimmering opportunity that is always present.
Mm.
It's got nothing to do with how we feel about it. It's got nothing to do with navigating it successfully, but it's got everything to do with walking the path that really we have no choice. It seems to me it's about how we get to support one another in walking through these thresholds, rather than holding ourselves to some kind of account of, I have to do this right, I have to be excellent at this, I have to, that's too much for anyone.
Yeah. God, Justin, I can feel the grief in me of how far the world is away from this. It feels really like it hurts that we all are expected to be able to do all of this on our own, and like how little we tell each other about what's really going on with each other. How little we know really about what's going on in our friends' lives. Really, really. We're seeing some friends this morning, and just thinking there's ways I can kind of feel and see into some things, but also even with really, really good friendships, there's ways that we're not seeing what's actually really going on with one another. And if we did, how well we could accompany one another, how well we could be in it together. And I know that in my relationships with the people in my life, whenever someone comes with something that's an opening, it's like, oh, we can connect, but it isn't the given way of doing things. It isn't a given thing in our culture to be disclosive and honest about the things that, and therefore they get kind of more complex and bigger, and the burden feels greater, and it feels like it's, you can't get out of it. And it's really ingrained that we're not supposed to say what's really going on or share certain things about certain things. There's so many rules that involve not saying. And that creates such pain and isolation and separateness. And people are really good. I mean, you mentioned what's happening in the world, Justin, and, you know, every day I feel ripped to shreds by it. And the stories of goodness and kindness and warmth and openness and generosity that I'm hearing are extraordinary, like so beautiful that what actually our intentions are being revealed in this horrible circumstance, which you would never want to, you would never want to be here anyway to reveal that. But what does get revealed is like, my goodness, look at all these people. Somebody told me a story yesterday about Ukrainian families inviting Russian soldiers in to call their mums, because there was no way that they could be in touch with their mums and they didn't know what they were getting themselves into. I was thinking, my goodness, just that, just having that with me as I'm seeing everything that's unfolding and all of the ways that people are gathering together to send things in big trucks and the generosity of people. My goodness, we're good. You know, when we begin our year-long thing, Justin, and we talk about people being good, and that's the premise of our work, and how radical that feels sometimes in the face of, you know, all the religions that have taught us goodness knows what about human beings and our culture teaching us who we are and that we're not capable or we're not good or there's something wrong with us or we're flawed. And yet it feels so true that there is profound, extensive, huge, massive goodness everywhere, with pockets of those who aren't in contact with that. And that creates such difficulty, but the very, very, very profound vast majority of humans are acting and feeling towards compassion and peace and goodness and generosity. It's just really, really true. And that happens on a kind of micro but profound level when I find this poem by Polly as well. There's people writing poetry that meets us, and poetry is such an act of service and love, because poetry gets written and put into the world in service of us, of people never met before, of people never known yet to the poet. And it's out there and it's on Polly's website, and this is a gift for us from her. There's such generousness in the world. And I think this process for me, Justin, of doing Turning Towards Life, when we're finding a source every week as well, is a connection into that goodness, is a connection into that generosity, that there are these gifts and offers available to us to be inside of together and talk about and share. There is such goodness. There really is.
I'm struck by one thing in what you said before we end. Seem to me that it might matter, you know, when you said a minute ago, so often we don't know anything about what the lives of even people who are close to us that we really care about are. And I thought at that moment, well, of course, because it's another thing that our wider culture tells us, is that what's important is what's on the outside of us.
Yeah.
You know, we might talk about some things and off the outside things, but our whole lives, everything in our lives, we experience from the inside. Even what's outside, we experience from the inside, but we live in a culture that treats the inside with great suspicion or disdain. And so poetry, one of the great gifts of poetry is Polly sharing with us something that came from the inside. And then we get to have that touch the insides of us and talk with one another about what comes from the insides, and the inside and the outside are not, I don't mean them as separate to one another. I just mean it's something that gets left out.
Yeah.
And a few years ago, I learned when a very dear friend was grieving, one of the things that I learned to do in that situation, which I'm seeing this morning I could do so much more often just in much more ordinary situations, is to say to the people I care about a very simple question, which is, what's this like for you? What's this moment in your life like for you?
Mm.
Which is an invitation to step through a threshold with one another. Might be another one of these kinds of into a liminal space that Polly's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Just start to be in the conversation about what we're actually experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this moment in time when so many of us are experiencing mixtures of hope and fear and confusion and despair and terror and worry and possibility and trying to control and everything, to be able to talk about that with one another.
Yeah.
On the big scale and on the more immediate scale of what's happening in our lives is a kind of poetry that we can do with one another. And it actually only takes a very simple question.
Yeah. Goodness, it's so beautiful to feel that this poem is a kind of testament to the possibilities of human relationship. Of course, it relates to our inner process as well, but like, I'm just really moved by how it is about being together and things. My goodness, so thank you, Polly. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, us. Thank you for this thing that we do. Thank you, everyone, for being with us in the conversation. And please, if this feels helpful to people, like this conversation might be really helpful to people who are in liminal spaces, please forward it on. You can go to our website and send the link to the recording. That's an easy thing to do. You could share the item in the podcast. You could invite them to the Facebook group, whatever. But please let this also be a way of doing the thing we've been talking about. You know, you could send this conversation to someone, couldn't you, and say, maybe this can lead us to a conversation we might not ordinarily be having. Maybe that could be a way that this gets into the world of people. Oh, thank you, Justin, and thank you, everyone. And we will be back here next Sunday with another source for another one of these lovely conversations. Bye, everybody.
Thanks, Lizzie. Bye.
Bye.